Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Just last week, the Biden administration declared the monkeypox outbreak a public health emergency in the U.S. Leaders from cities big and small are calling for more vaccine to combat the growing rate of infection. And tonight, we will tell you what you need to know about the painful and unsightly disease, and we also have information about how to protect yourself and who should be vaccinated. My guest is Dr. Lisa Fitzpatrick, infectious disease expert and founder and CEO of Grapevine Health. If you have questions about monkeypox, now is the time to give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Fitzpatrick, good to talk to you again.
Hi, Harold. Great to be with you. It's been a while.
Yeah, indeed it has been. And unfortunately, we are once again talking about some really critical health issues. Let's get right into the monkeypox 101. What is it? Where does it come from? And how does it present itself for people who have it?
Mm-hmm. Well, monkeypox has been around for a long time. We've seen it for a long time in Africa. And the reason it's called monkeypox is not because it's related to monkeys, but it was first discovered in a type of monkey in Africa. But it's usually, it would be transmitted through rodents to humans or other animals, not necessarily monkeys. So they're working on changing the name. But what people should be looking for, because it has changed in the way it presents, now we're seeing it a lot in people who've had multiple sexual partners or who've had very close skin-to-skin contact, lots of kissing and cuddling. And the symptoms people need to look out for, and they'll sound familiar, because like most viral infections, you get fever, body aches, you might get swollen lymph nodes, so you find those in your neck, your underarms, in your groin. You might have some backache, just very nonspecific symptoms. And the reason viral infections cause these symptoms that are so generic, because a lot of those sound a lot like COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's because when something gets in your body that's not supposed to be there, your body mounts a response to try to get rid of it, and it manifests through those kinds of symptoms. So that's why you don't always have something specific to tell you what kind of infection it is. But with monkeypox, after you get these initial symptoms, the fever, the headache, the achiness, or the swollen lymph nodes, that's when you get this rash you've been hearing about. And so the rash can come up, you know, after a few days, even as far out as 2 or 3 weeks. So, but most people are going to get sick within the first week or so. Mm-hmm. So it's just really important, Harold, that we know who our sexual partners are, that we are very vigilant about these symptoms, because it's not too late to contain the spread of monkeypox, because there's not enough vaccine to go around for everybody yet.
Yeah, some of the homeless population in the District of Columbia, there have been at least two reported cases recently. But as you know, as you said, a lot of this has to do with sexual activity. And there's been a lot of discussion since the monkeypox outbreak became a headline about its relationship to men who have sex with men, bisexual men, sex workers, and the like. Talk to me about specifically why this is the target population that should be most concerned, according to the CDC.
Yeah, so Harold, anytime we have an outbreak, the first thing we need to do is figure out where it started, where it's coming from, how it's spreading. Because the only way you can stop the spread, or at least contain the spread, is to know the answers to those things. And so the first place we saw the cluster of cases was in a group of gay men. And so you have to consider the context. So a lot of folks are saying, oh, well, anybody can get monkeypox. Okay, theoretically, that's true. But in a public health emergency like this, a crisis, we have to figure out where to put the resources and where people need the education most. And so if you look at the cases we first saw, just think about the behavior. That's what we need to be focused on. Do you have multiple sex partners? Have you had sex with someone you don't know? Anonymous sex? Have you been in a situation with someone you're not that familiar with? You didn't look at their body. You didn't ask about their sexual history. You didn't ask about their health in general. And Harold, this is not just about monkeypox. As a nation, we don't like to talk about sex, and we don't talk even to our sexual partners. So if you use that as a backdrop for this situation, when people are having multiple sexual partners, or they're having anonymous sex, or they're going to sex parties, there's an opportunity for this to spread. And so that's why, you know, my recommendation is for people who know they've been in a situation like that, we have to rely on each other to be honest, to look for the symptoms, to get tested and assess whether or not we could have placed ourselves at risk for an infection like this. And so, you know, there's this conversation about we don't want to stigmatize, but we also have to tell the truth about where most of the cases are coming from. And so they're coming from the gay male population, but that doesn't mean it's going to stay in the gay male population. So it's a really tricky one to message, but I think if we stop focusing on who has monkeypox and think about how monkeypox can be transmitted and what those behaviors are, that's the best way for us to contain the spread of monkeypox.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about monkeypox, what it is, how you can protect yourself, vaccines, and the like. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call right now. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Fitzpatrick, how dangerous is monkeypox? Is it deadly? You know, from all of the reports that we've seen, it is certainly uncomfortable. Kind of give us the rundown of how it again presents itself, you know, on the skin, and when, if you get through it, when might you be, you know, okay to interact with other people? Help me with that.
Yeah, so just a reminder, the symptoms to look for. So again, if you're someone who's had multiple sexual partners, especially with people you don't know, we need you to be very vigilant about the symptoms, because the first ones you might see might be subtle, and it may feel just like you have the flu. Fever, headache, body aches, swollen lymph nodes, and then you get the rash. And so the issue with the rash is, think about, it's different. It's not the same as chicken pox or shingles, but the characteristics we need to look for are the blisters. So if you pop those blisters open and it has a liquid inside, that is when someone is vulnerable to pass it to someone else. So you want those blisters to be completely healed before you are really out of the woods and unable to pass it on to someone else. And so that can take up to several weeks for some people, but on average, probably 3 or 4 weeks. Yes, it can be very painful, but I think if you are sharing a household with someone who has monkeypox symptoms, we saw this in COVID. How do you separate yourself from someone so that you don't get the infection? But I think in this case, it's harder to transmit monkeypox because you need that close skin-to-skin contact. Or the CDC also says you can get it through respiratory secretions, but they mean in a situation in which maybe you're kissing someone. That's the kind of close contact you need for respiratory secretions. So if you're in a household with someone, washing the bedding, or if a person does have sores that have this liquid inside I'm talking about, they haven't crusted over and healed, then it's just a matter of using, you know, household cleaners. Someone asked, does bleach eliminate the germ? Yes, it does. So all the things you would normally use to clean, that's fine. But the main thing, Harold, is it's this close skin-to-skin contact or being in prolonged contact with someone as if it's the kind of contact you see with a sexual encounter. And so this does not mean, because, you know, people are very quick to misconstrue what's being said about this. This does not mean kids are getting it from adults through sexual activity. This is from close contact, so sharing bedding, you know, sheets or clothes, things like that. But it's because the germ inside the lesions on the skin can get on the bedding, and then maybe someone comes and lays on the bed, and that would be a way someone could get monkeypox also. But again, Harold, these are very few cases. The vast majority of cases, and there are data, the New England Journal of Medicine released a case study on over 500 cases that really helped us understand what's going on here. And the majority of cases were this sexual activity, people having multiple sexual partners, in some cases anonymous sex. So I just, again, want to reiterate how important it is. Look for the symptoms and also make sure you know who you're coming in close contact with. Even if you have to inspect people, it's a little uncomfortable, I know, but it's necessary, Harold.
Yeah, yeah. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about monkeypox, what it is, what are the risks of becoming infected, how do you protect yourself. We're going to talk about getting vaccinated against it, who should. Lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Denise calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Denise. What's on your mind? Turn your radio down for me, please.
Yes, I am calling because it appears that the discussion for the monkeypox appears to be through transmission of sexual activity. So my question becomes, is this a STD?
Okay, that's a great question. So when we classify something as a sexually transmitted infection, it's usually because that's the way something is spread. But in the case of monkeypox, you can be in close contact with someone who has skin lesions and get monkeypox. So it's not been classified as a sexually transmitted infection, but that doesn't mean people who are having sex can't give it to each other.
Okay.
All right. Denise, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Juanita calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Juanita. What's on your mind?
I'm just trying to say, you know, we just need to be careful how we're doing things, how we're moving, who we're moving with. Like, it's just, you know, very important that we protect ourselves, get the information to know how to protect ourselves.
Oh, well, you know, absolutely. And I think Dr. Fitzpatrick has been talking about this since she's been on. I mean, that, you know, that is the thing, and not just, you know, as you're suggesting, as it relates to sexual contact, but just arming ourselves with, you know, with information and how you may, you know, interact with someone, you know, who may have contracted the disease as well, because you may not, as the doctor just told us, you may contract monkeypox through contact with someone that's non-sexual contact. But certainly, Juanita, yeah, you definitely have to keep your eye out. Thank you so much. And to that point, Dr. Fitzpatrick, I think one of the other things is we live in a really, really diverse community, and not all heterosexual people interact in a non-sexual way with other heterosexual people. You may have some friends who are gay men, and you may hug them, or you may shake hands with them, you know, or something like this. Are we at a point now like we were during the COVID pandemic, where we may have to consider, you know, doing the elbow bump instead of shaking mm-hmm. hands and, you know, and hugging? Because, as I said, you know, I'm talking about non-sexual contact with someone who may be infected and not know.
Yeah. So, Harold, thanks for bringing this up. So a couple of points. One is we get a lot of questions about whether or not this is airborne. And so the scenario you just described with COVID is what I think of when someone says, is it airborne? And so there's a nuance there because I don't want to get into like the science of droplets and, you know, how small it is or how big it is. But what we do know about this respiratory spread is that it's close contact, like kissing, like that kind of respiratory secretion is what's going to spread monkeypox. It's not like I'm sitting next to you on the metro and I sneeze and you get monkeypox. That's not what we're seeing.
So, Dr. Fitzpatrick, don't forget your point. Hold on. I've got to take a break. We are getting a lot of phone calls in here as well, and I want to take as many as we can. People really want to know about this, and they should be concerned, and they should be vigilant. And as always, we take phone calls all the way up until 8 o'clock. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. And you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insights segment via podcast on WHUR.com. This conversation and all of the Daily Drums posted after 8:30 every day. Stay with us. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We'll be back in a few seconds on Sirius XM Channel 141. Don't hang up if you're on the line. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation on this Medical Monday about the spread of monkeypox, what you need to know, how you can protect yourself. My guest is Dr. Lisa Fitzpatrick, infectious disease expert and founder and CEO of Grapevine Health. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Patrick, before the short break, we were talking about, you know, how it spread. Please continue your point.
Yeah, I think in situations like this outbreak, we have to look at what's happening with the majority of cases and not get obsessed or focused too much on what we call the fringe cases. So the majority of cases, so far, over 95% of the cases are among men who've had sex and they got it that way. So not that it's a sexually transmitted infection, but this is the kind of close contact we're seeing transmission happen, because that's about as close as you could get when we say prolonged skin-to-skin contact. And so it's true, I was talking about the respiratory secretion. CDC says it's possible for it to spread through respiratory secretions, but if this were as airborne as something like COVID or this Omicron, you know, series of Omicron variants, we would be seeing a lot more of this, but we're not. So it's really important to focus on the data we have and to try and contain the spread in the population where we know it's spreading. Because, yes, it can spread outside of that group. It can spread outside of gay men, for sure, for the reasons we talked about. Do you have sores that are open? Are you in close contact with someone and not aware? But ultimately, you know, we need to figure out how we stop the spread. And so we each have to do our part, be vigilant. And if you are someone who enjoys sex with anonymous partners, then I would just ask you to be doubly vigilant, or even avoid those activities for the next few weeks until we get through this storm.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about monkeypox, what it is, how it's contracted. We're going to talk about the vaccine in just a bit. Let me go to Billy, calling from Detroit. Billy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. I wanted to ask the doctor, how long does it stay, like if someone is infected and they lay on your sheet, you know, like if, you know, how long does it stay outside of the body?
Yeah, so it's been found on surfaces for many, many days. But I think in the case of having someone who's been on, who's used the sheets or the towels, we have an easy solution for that. So we can, you know, launder those things. So if you don't know about who's been, who you're sharing sheets with, or if you're just not sure, then you could always just throw them in the laundry, take them to the laundromat, yeah, and just, you know, clean the sheets. We had this question from some folks at a nail salon. They were asking about that. If they went to a hotel and they didn't think the sheets were clean, in that situation, you call housekeeping, you say, we need brand new sheets. So it's not worth taking a chance if you don't know who's used the linens before you or who you're sharing linens with.
Okay.
Thank you, so
Billy.
Much.
Thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Robert calling from Largo. Thanks for calling, Robert. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes, I wanted to know, when shall you get the vaccine? And, you know, is it like COVID? I mean, you know, we're telling everybody to get it. So should I get it right away? I have no symptoms and I'm not sexually active.
Yeah, I would say you're in a very low risk category, and I wouldn't expect you to go out and try to get the vaccine. The vaccine is actually a smallpox vaccine, because smallpox and monkeypox are related. They're cousins. And so because there's a lot of effectiveness from that vaccine, that's why we're able to use it for to prevent monkeypox. But we also have a very limited supply. So it's really important for the people I've been describing, people who have multiple sexual partners or who have anonymous sex, who don't talk to their sexual partners about whether or not they may or may not have been sick before. Those are the people we want to get the vaccine first, because that's how we contain the spread. And if you get the vaccine, for those who are listening who are getting the vaccine, remember, the vaccine is not going to protect you from monkeypox for a couple of weeks. So you still have to be careful about sexual partners. And I would really ask people to avoid those behaviors, like only have sex with people you know, who you feel comfortable talking to about their symptoms, looking at their body so you know what's going on.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Robert, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about monkeypox.
We have to keep it plain, Harold, because
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
What's happening is that the language around, like, okay, who's going to get monkeypox, and anybody can get monkeypox, people are confused. And so we have to really focus on the behaviors we know are prevalent among people who are getting monkeypox. And yes, that happens to be gay men so far, but it could easily be someone else who's having these intimate relationships with people they don't know.
Well, I know you mentioned the medical journal report, the New England Journal of Medicine. Mm-hmm. But was there anything in the report that suggested why the gay and bisexual male community is where this has happened? We know what it is. We
yeah.
know how it presents, but why has it impacted the gay and bisexual male population more than anyone else?
Well, no, I don't think there's anything physiologically different about them. Again, I think this is about behavior.
I see.
And so, you know, we've just come out of Pride Month. I'm just using this as an example. There are a lot of parties. There are a lot of raves. There was an article in the New York Times, an infectious disease doctor talked about this, how, you know, when you're exploring the epidemiology or what happened, the, you know, the who, where, when, and what of how outbreaks happen and what's going on, you have to ask all these questions to try and figure out the source, where it started. And because it's likely it may have started in a gay club, and there's a lot of travel. Like, we're a global society now. I mean, look at COVID. COVID is a great example, right, of how easily something can spread. But because, and this could be also linked to culture. So the culture of anonymous sex or multiple sexual partners. And I'm saying this based on the data we saw in those 500 or so cases that's discussed in this article you're asking about. So they did a very elegant study asking people details about, like, where were you? What, you know, where did you go? And how many sex partners did you have? And one thing that stood out in those over 500 cases is that they ask people, how many sexual partners have you had in the last 90 days, the last 3 months? And the average number was 5. Mm-hmm. But the highest number, I think, was 16 or 17. So it's not that the gay community is causing this or there's something about them that makes monkeypox glom onto them. It's about the behavior. And so that's why I still am hopeful that we can contain the spread, because each person just has to be honest and vigilant and ask themselves, have I been in this situation? Let me just stop for a minute, assess for a few days. How do I feel? Do I have any symptoms? If I do, then let me stay away and see what happens. Let me go get tested. And if nothing happens, then fine. But I still think we're going to be with this for many more months unless we somehow can get people to be vigilant in this way. Mm-hmm. Looking, asking before engaging in sexual activity. If you know you have household contacts, you have to protect them as well. Be honest. Look. It's really uncomfortable, Harold. I can't say it enough, because we're just not a society that wants to talk about these things.
Well, suffice it to say, we are not having this conversation to make people comfortable. I think it's, I think it's important that people are uncomfortable with it, uncomfortable enough to be careful, to be vigilant, and to make sure also, and you can share with me your thoughts on this, to make sure that we balance our vigilance with not trying to stigmatize or be prejudiced. And I think that's really outside of the health issue. There is the social issue regarding this. You know, as I said before, you know, there are people who are heterosexual who have gay male friends.
Mm-hmm.
They are not romantically involved, but, you know, people,
and some who are.
Yeah, and okay, and I'm,
but
and again,
that's not right.
But
sympathizing those people.
Right, exactly. And I think, but I'm talking about, yeah, you may have some that are, but that goes back to the point about the behavior. But for those mm-hmm. people who have friends who are, you know, male friends who are part of the LGBTQ IA community, okay, who are, you know, who, if you have friends, you know, in that community, you know, we don't, you know, want you to treat them, you know, like, you know, social lepers or the like, but then it becomes complicated. And this is where the uncomfortable, you know, conversation comes in, because, as you said, a lot of people aren't necessarily talking about sex, the sex they're having, the sex that other people are having. And and it becomes a really difficult situation to be in.
Yeah, we feel, you know, we, as a society, it's taboo, right? And it's ironic because if you can just look on social media or in the movies and see how much we glorify sex, but when it comes to actually talking about it, but I'm used to this, Harold. You know, I'm an HIV provider, and
right.
So I've spent years talking to people about why they don't talk to their sexual partner. They might come, you know, to me and they have some sort of sexually transmitted infection, and I say, well, did you ask?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, well, no, I didn't want, you know, him or her to feel bad. And so that's how we get in this situation. So now we have a public health emergency in a community, meaning the U.S., it's not just us, but in a place where we don't like to talk about sex, and now we need to be talking about it because we have a public health emergency going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about monkeypox. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. I need to take a break, but before I do, there's some breaking news that I need to share with our listeners. This coming out of Florida, former President Donald Trump has said in a very lengthy statement today that the FBI has conducted a search of his Mar-a-Lago estate. Now, the Justice Department is not commenting on all of this, but of course, this action coming as the former president has been laying the groundwork to make another bid for president. And the Justice Department has been investigating the discovery of boxes of records containing classified information that were taken after Trump left the White House at the end of his presidency. Also, again, breaking right now, former President Trump has confirmed that the FBI has raided his Mar-a-Lago estate in South Florida. We will continue to keep you updated as this information, as more information becomes available. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Kirk calling from Largo. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Just to recap breaking news out of Palm Beach, Florida, former President Trump says his home has been raided by the FBI. In a statement, the former president says his Mar-a-Lago estate is currently under siege, raided, and occupied by a large group of FBI agents. The Justice Department is not commenting on this latest action. It is not clear what the investigation surrounding this particular raid is connected to. The president said that they did break into his safe. We will keep you posted on more information as it becomes available. Now back to the conversation about monkeypox and how you can protect yourself, what you need to know. Let me go back to the phone line. Let's go to Kirk calling from Largo. Kirk, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, man, I feel like I'm kind of missing the boat with this monkeypox. I know that they're saying gay bisexual men. What is a gay bisexual man with HIV? Do they have like a compromised immune system? I feel like I'm missing something.
Hmm. The CDC, Dr. Fitzpatrick, as you know, has spoken about specifically what Kirk is asking about. Please go right ahead.
Yes, but I also would like to know if Kirk has a specific question. But the CDC, and it's a great time to talk about the vaccine. We don't have enough vaccine available for the general public, so the vaccines are being reserved for people who've had an encounter that puts them at risk for monkeypox. So these are people who've had multiple sexual partners, they've had anonymous sex, or, you know, maybe they have come in contact with someone who maybe had monkeypox and they don't. So you wouldn't get the vaccine if you already have monkeypox.
No, I wasn't asking about the vaccine. I asked, are these gay or bisexual men that are HIV positive, do they have a compromised immune system?
Meaning, are you asking if only people who are HIV positive are getting monkeypox?
Basically.
Okay. So, no, they're not. In fact, so we've been talking about a study that reviewed 528 cases of monkeypox. 96% or 7% were in gay and bisexual men. And of those, about a third were HIV positive. So the majority of cases are not HIV positive. So okay. There's really no association between monkeypox and HIV. But if you have HIV, you want to be vigilant, especially if you're not on medication, to protect your immune system. Because if your immune system is already weak and you get any kind of infection on top of that, then you need to be concerned and take action. Okay. But no, monkeypox is not associated with being HIV positive.
Kirk, thank you so much for your question and your input. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk specifically about the vaccine. How does it work? You said earlier that monkeypox is similar to smallpox. A lot of people, when we think about, you know, smallpox, you may think, well, you know, smallpox, in particular here in the United States, is this still, you know, an issue? You think of smallpox, you think about diseases that we haven't seen in decades and decades and decades. Talk to us about the relationship between smallpox and monkeypox and how the vaccine works, if you can.
Yeah, so a lot of viruses are associated. We call them cousins. So a lot of their genetic material is very similar, but they're not the same. So you'd asked earlier, Harold, if people were dying of monkeypox. And unfortunately, no. There have been a couple of deaths, but I think there were probably some extenuating circumstances in those people that we don't necessarily know about yet. But most people, the vast majority, will, you know, after they go through the painful part with the rash, their symptoms will resolve on their own. And so we're not concerned that people will be dying from monkeypox. The vaccine, though, the reason we can use the vaccine in monkeypox, smallpox is eradicated, but they were able to, because we had smallpox vaccine, which is the reason it was eradicated, but because they're able to produce more vaccine based on the smallpox vaccine, they're so related that it works. It has some effectiveness in people with to prevent monkeypox. So the way the vaccine works is like how all vaccines work generally, which is to show your body the germ as kind of a decoy, you know, or think of it like a dress rehearsal. We're showing you this germ in case you come in contact with it, then your body can protect you. And so that's all vaccines are doing in general. And so this vaccine, it's two shots, 4 weeks apart. But again, there's not enough supply for everyone. So I think in order to contain the spread, and it's not too late, although a lot of experts are saying, oh, it's too late, we cannot vaccinate our way out of this problem. We have to rely on people to change their behaviors until we get through this crisis. And so what I mean is make sure you know your sexual partners, examine, ask questions before you are intimate with someone. And if you've been intimate with someone you don't know and you have people who live at home, again, be vigilant. Don't share linens or clothes or towels until you know you don't have monkeypox.
Mm-hmm. If someone is infected, they have the lesions, they move through, and your lesions healed, is it possible for them to be reinfected?
Not that we know of now, because so people are primed for a lot of these conversations because of the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way, people who got COVID had some protection from getting COVID again, about as much as people who got vaccinated. So there are different ways to get protection from an infection. You either get it or you get vaccinated against it. So it's the same with monkeypox. which is why people who have had monkeypox or have monkeypox don't need to get vaccinated, because their body now sees what monkeypox looks like. And so if they come in contact with it again, their body will protect them, so they shouldn't have another infection.
In these last few minutes, I wanted to speak really more broadly about what we're seeing with this modern health crisis. Obviously, COVID isn't going away. We are still here. Now we have monkeypox as a national health emergency. We are now having discussions about the resurgence of polio. What, from your perspective, you know, as infectious disease expert and physician, what is going on, and why does it seem that this is happening all at once?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as a nation, we haven't done a great job really helping people understand the importance of public health and gaining people's trust so that they feel comfortable following public health advice. Because all of these are public health crises. Public health in this country has chronically been underfunded because we don't prioritize it. And so what does that look like? It looks like not being able to contain or control an epidemic or an outbreak when it arises, because COVID-19 started as an outbreak. And it quickly spread around the world because we were flat-footed and we weren't prepared. Same with monkeypox. But I think because people weren't prepared, they weren't educated, I don't think it's because the world's gone topsy-turvy and now all the bugs are just running wild and will take us over. I think there's still a lot of hope to educate people and start to prioritize public health infrastructure. With respect to polio, this is a problem. It's a problem because polio was another one of those infectious diseases that we had eradicated through vaccines. And because we're seeing reduction in vaccine uptake, some of this is distrust. Some of it's an access issue because people haven't been able to get in to get their vaccines because of the impact of the pandemic on clinical access or medical access. And then there are just some people who don't realize how important it is to keep those vaccinations up to date. So I think that's why we're seeing polio, but there's, it remains to be seen what's going to happen with that. But I hope it doesn't become an outbreak. We just want to encourage people, regardless of how you feel about the COVID-19 vaccines. There are so many vaccines, polio, diphtheria, measles, mumps, rubella. This is the reason we don't see outbreaks of these infectious diseases much anymore, because of vaccinations. So I want people to go and get those vaccinations for themselves and for their kids, regardless of how they feel about the COVID-19 vaccine.
Yeah, a lot to digest here, and a lot of safety precautions to consider, and certainly we all have to be vigilant and with the information, and to kind of keep our ears to the ground. Dr. Lisa Fitzpatrick, thank you so much. It's always informative to talk to you, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Harold. Have a good night.
You too. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, August 8th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.